Greetings in the name of Jesus, the one we've been singing about. I was blessed being here this morning already. It's just the truth of the Word of God. How much do I want in here? Ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I appreciated that last song. I felt just went with the opening message there. How that my richest gain I count the loss, I pour contempt on all my pride. What are those things in my heart that it's longing after for? Am I willing to lay that at the foot of the cross? And one song we sang, Revive Thy Work, O Lord, I was so blessed and challenged with a few of those verses there. You know, sometimes our embers might feel that they're about out. Where is the glow? It's not there. It's not that God hasn't done his part. It's somehow the fuel hasn't been being put continually to the fire. Revive thy work, O Lord. Disturb this sleep of death. Quicken the smoldering embers now by thine almighty breath. We heard about that breath, the life of God in our hearts and lives. Revive thy work, O Lord, create soul thirst for thee, and hungering for the bread of life, O may our spirits be. Revive thy work, O Lord, exalt thy precious name, and by the Holy Ghost, our love for thee and thine inflame. Revive thy work, O Lord, and give refreshing showers. The glory shall be all thine own. The blessing, Lord, be ours. How much blessing do we want? There's a lot of fire available, a lot of life available, unlimited, if we but surrender our hearts and lives to him. I like if we just rise for a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for the blessing of a new day. Father, we need fresh manna from you today. We need you, Father, to break the bread of life, the loaves and the fishes that you have available to us. We ask by your Holy Spirit that you would come and move and work within my heart, first of all, in each and every heart here, Lord, that your will could truly be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know our needs here this morning, Lord, and I pray that those needs could be met, and we could be a people that's prepared to meet you, that's looking forward to your return. Father, we commit this day to you. Thank you what you've already fed us with. We just pray, continue. Here we invite your presence here in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just my desire that God would feed us today. Some of you may have been the homeschool workshop yesterday out in Harlan, Indiana. And I guess the blessing to me to gather together with children of God, encourage one another. You know, this life, this pathway has its challenges, its mountains, its valleys. And I guess that's the joy that I find, that we as believers can encourage one another while it's yet day. And that's my desire here this morning. And I'd like to go back to in the beginning here, go to one of the questions on our panel discussion. It was yesterday's. The day was for homeschooling, and what I Like to share this morning, had been geared much towards, mainly towards fathers yesterday, and yet my desire is that God, by His Holy Spirit, would be able to minister to the hearts of the children, you youth. You're the future here of teaching your children, and that's my desire, is that God would come and just minister there. There was a question, I don't have it word for word, of so much about the independence, I think is what I gleaned from it in our panel discussion, was about the social kind of a misfit or the independence in our homeschooled children. How can we be clear of this? I'm not sure what the question was, but there's a few thoughts that came in our discussion. I thought it's good for us to think about. Because, you know, why are we doing what we're doing? If it is homeschooling and academics, or if it's a Christian day school, why are we doing what we're doing? And as a young man sat there in our circle, and I took it that he had been a teacher. And the conclusion was a lot of what we talked about out at the ministers' meeting in Mendon, each have their advantages and disadvantages. But the fact of the matter comes down to our homes. That's basically where it lies. That we cannot depend, let's never have the mentality, because if we're homeschooling, things are going to turn out okay. No. It takes the Lord. I mean, God help us to walk in humility. But this young man shared something that I was really challenged with. And he said of another young man he was discussing, he had known well, and they were discussing, what do we see in people's families that homeschool and church school? What do we like to see? What is it that we like to see or don't like to see the outcome of that? And this young man was against homeschooling, so he was disappointed what he's seen coming out from homeschooled families. But anyway, what this young man shared then in our group, what he sees is an encouragement to him. That's why he wants to homeschool. And so sometimes it's what we're looking for is what we'll see. But what is the testimony from our lives as a family, your family? What's coming out of that in our, is it the community in the church here? Let's just be real. What is coming out of our lives? Something is coming out. But he said what he has seen when in a school setting, a private school setting, first graders come to school and they're innocent. You know, this is new. I know the feeling. He said, in second grade, they come, and they know who is he mentioned the dunce in the class, or the way up. It pertains to our children's lesson here, being respecter of persons. And he said, you watch that. That thing goes through all those grades. That thing is there. And they go into the youth, and that thing remains to be there. And he said, for him, he desires to, you know, that we can be families, get all these words there, that we're, you know, the youngest to the oldest can be learn to be relating together. And I must say, I've been blessed what I've seen. I just want to bless you families, you youth and you children, what I've seen in relating to younger, relating to older daughters, children, daughters relating to mothers, sons relating to other fathers. That's a blessing. I feel sometimes we take it for granted. And I believe that is truly a blessing of God. So let's not lose that. Let's know what we're doing and what our goals and our visions are or should be. I set before you a blessing. That was the title. I want to give that here this morning. And I'd like to read in Psalm 67, and I have really been blessed by that chapter, if you can turn with me there, and how that God wants to bless us, that is His desire. And we read that in that song here this morning about revive thy work, O Lord. But God really does want to bless us. Verse 1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. May that be our testimony, that God wants to bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And there's something else that came out of that discussion there that I like to turn to a few verses in Proverbs chapter 1. I feel has so much to do with where things are going to come out at, how much we're going to be learning, because I feel the thought was given in a real clear way. It doesn't matter if we homeschool or church school, if the home is struggling and it's in chaos, the homeschool is going to be in chaos, and the church school, the children are going to be trouble. And he said he's seen that, you know, this young man was just sharing I feel just out of a pure heart of love and concern, the things that he's seen. And so it really comes down to our homes that we can't get away from it and depend on the church or the school or whatever it may be to raise a godly seed. I trust it can be a blessing, it can be a help, and that we're laborers together in the kingdom of God, that we're here at encouraging one another, but that we have in our minds, because we do a certain thing, everything's going to turn out okay. God help us. That's not the case. But I think it comes down to the attitudes of our hearts, as it says here in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, I can relate to my life now and the time I was in those years that I went to school, grades 1 through 8, and I trust that you children that have gone through school that are sitting here this morning, you can relate to when you had a bad attitude about learning. How much did you learn? And how long did it take you to do your lessons? That's just this what the Bible says, how a wise man will hear. If we have a heart to learn and our conscience is clear, we are going to learn a whole lot faster is it in school or is it as we are maturing? Brother Joe is probably the oldest here, and I expect it still applies to you today, I'm guessing. I know it does to me. But a wise man will hear, will increase in learning, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And it says something about a scorner, you know, how if you try to teach a scorner, it just doesn't work out well. And it seems that's that way in our homes. If we're trying to teach our children and their hearts are there's foolishness there, there's problems there, there's bad attitudes, they just don't learn. It seems we can go around the motion and go round and round, and we just don't get it. But if their hearts are clear, it seems it takes maybe half the time to do their lessons, and they're productive, and it's the same way in the workplace. You know, if our children are growing up and they go out in the workplace and they're struggling with those attitudes, they're not going to be productive in the workplace either. It just is that way. Psalms 127, very familiar verses, how that little children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, our arrows that the Lord has given you and I are not for our display or to create some reputation, but it's for the furtherance of God's kingdom. How can we apply that? And I trust this. We have a vision. We have a vision for missions, you know. And is it just cross seas? No, it shouldn't be. It should be missions right here in our congregation, starting at Jerusalem and then going abroad in our communities, or wherever God might send us. Lord, make us to be what you want us to be. You know, we're commanded to teach our children the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and that it could be to the praise of his glory, like it says there in Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And I guess one of the things that has blessed me, and I feel we have a privilege to homeschool. We do not have a right to do that. I feel sometimes I take it for granted. We just kind of get used to it. This is what we can do. Our brothers in Germany don't have that privilege. They are not allowed to homeschool. And I believe probably in many other areas in the world also. But I feel it's a privilege that we have. What am I doing with it? Am I thankful for it? Am I making the best out that God gives to me? And the thing that we face, you know, every one of us as families here are in this a little bit different season of life. Some of us are very similar in our ages and where our children's ages are. And some are very different. And let us not compare ourselves among ourselves, which is not wise, but let us compare ourselves to the Word of God. How can I do this great work for the Lord? And in Deuteronomy, I like those verses there. Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you want to turn there with me in verses, starting to read in verses 19. Moses was bringing the children of Israel to a place of decision. And chapter 30 in Deuteronomy, just before the end of Moses' life. And he was just asking them to consider. I think I'm going to start reading in verse 11. There's a lot more that could be said there. Verse 11 says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it." I like to see that as one of the prophecies there in, I think it was chapter 18, that was about Moses there. It said that God is going to send a prophet like unto Moses, and him thou shalt hear. It's a prophecy of Jesus Christ coming. And I like to look at this as the Holy Spirit working in your heart and in my heart, that we don't have to go to a certain brother. We don't have to go to some certain convention or do this certain thing, but the word is very nigh unto you, even in our hearts and in our mouth. God is not limited how he wants to speak to us. Verse 15, "For I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it." Then in verse 19, it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, but I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life but both thou and thy seed may live." God is concerned about us and our children, our seed, that they live, that they serve him, and that his testimony goes on throughout all our generations. God has a jealousy over us as families, And you see that throughout the whole Bible. God loves his children, and he has set them in families. I like to see that in that example in Nehemiah. We're probably familiar with that, about the wall being built, and they had enemies about them. And I like to see that and apply that to us as a congregation right here, that we're building a wall. And you know, if we let the rubble and the garbage there, just the sin or whatever it might be, just the despondency, it doesn't really matter. The enemy's going to come in and take something from us. But they were so concerned that Nehemiah there was a great work, and he set them by families to build behind that wall. I love that picture there in Nehemiah chapter 4. And there they were. They were trying to get this wall built that God would protect them. They were working together. And God did a mighty work there through Nehemiah. God, he is calling us to be families who want to spend time learning together, working together, playing together. We want to be our children's role model in showing them how to live godly lives in their generation. We want to build closer, deeper relationships with them. You know, can it be of you and I as fathers that God spoke of Abraham? That's a challenge to me. In Genesis 18, verse 19, you don't need to turn to there, says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And one plus it says that all the families of the earth shall be blessed because of Abraham. That's talking, I believe, about the prophecy of Jesus Christ. And now let's turn to Psalm 78, using a bit of Old Testament scriptures here. I feel it's such beautiful examples of God's design for us today, and his concern for us as families. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Why? "That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Now, I want to say, as far as education, I guess into some of that, just a few verses that I want to share here before I forget it. Concerning education, I feel it's right for us to teach our children have a proper education. I'm not talking about something that we have to go after. We all have to seek a higher education. It's not what I'm talking about, but a good education that we can be fruitful, that we can teach, that our children can teach their children. But, you know, at the same time, I think we have to be careful. It says that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. We can just keep that in a proper balance. And so let us be diligent to teach and to instruct and to equip. And I have been learning a little bit, you know, many times that when a person shares, he's sharing from his perspective. And I have a lot to learn. I don't know near everything. And I do have a concern that our children are able, like I said, they're equipped to be able to teach their children. And if God calls them to do that at home. And that, you know, we here in Ohio, many of us may not realize that we don't need a GED. We can just pretty much start teaching where we're at, but in Pennsylvania, you do. One of the parents needs a GED or a diploma, and so I think we have to sometimes look beyond right where we're at, but try to look at the larger picture. And also, I know for my wife and I, when we looked at teaching, starting there in Pennsylvania back in 1995, we both got our GEDs. It wasn't near like it is today, not near as difficult, and I'm thankful. It's a kind of a miracle that I passed. We didn't have much time to study. Lives were so full, and praise God, we passed. Now, one of the things, and the question came up, in our panel discussions, why do our daughters need their GEDs? I'm not saying it's a must. I'm not saying that at all. But I know one thing that has made a difference for our children, being we did not take them through a high school curriculum to receive their diploma in that way, it really refreshes their memory and their to prepare them, I think, at that age of 18 to 20, to prepare them, if the Lord brings a companion, they have children to be able to teach their children. And at the same time, I feel there are cautions I believe we need to use as, you know, the teaching that we have, if we do the training, is through high school training, and a lot of those methods they use are secular. We have to face that. It's not a Christian-based training. And so God help us to use discernment in all those things. But if you do use it, just say like COE, and I did not search it out, but that question had come up in our brothers' meeting, you know, will going through a COE program be a diploma that we don't need our GED? Yes, it does. And it's like a brother shared with me from COE that gave me some insight. You know, they do have a curriculum like a high school plus, I think it is, and that you receive credits in that diploma, which actually looks a lot better than if you go somewhere and apply for a job and you have a GED. It shows that you dropped out of high school and now you're just, you know, you got your GED. We're not looking, I don't look at that as a downside. I'm just saying that is what he shared with me. And so there are different sides to that where you can get your credit. So, but that is not, it shouldn't be the main goal. But I think the main goal should be that we're not neglecting to teach our children, that they have a proper education so that they can teach their children and be a blessing. And also, I heard a situation recently where a family from Southern Ohio wanted to go to Africa, and they couldn't go unless he had his GED. And it was work for him to get that. And I've heard of different situations that it appears like that may be more a requirement in the future than what we have been used to. So it's just something to think about. I think it's just something to take into consideration. Are we diligent to prepare and equip our children? What kind of armor do we have, you know, to face the challenges of of our lives and in their faith? Will their faith be strong? What are the tools that God has given you and I to live lives of victory, that we're not overtaken by sin and drugged down into despair or just simply discouragement? If we look at Psalm 78 and verse 8, it gives a very negative picture here of something that happened. And they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. And I don't know how many of you have felt that way. I have. If something comes up and we don't by faith rise up and we allow discouragement to come into our lives, I feel we're turning back. We're not taking the tools that God has given to us to continue on. And I believe that's where God has called us as a congregation, the church, to be there for each other, to encourage one another. This is the way. Walk in it. Keep going. It's worth it. And it is. And sometimes we have these huge mountains to cross. They loom before us. Or sometimes we may be in a valley. But Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4 says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. I wonder, what is your perspective of the Christian life? I think we all, this flesh would desire an easy road. You know, last weekend we spent time in Iowa and traveling out at the 30 Interstate 80. These roads are nice to travel on. They're smooth and you can travel very well. That's not a clear picture of the Christian life. There's a brother shared a message out there, Brother Dean, and he preached about the hard sayings of Jesus. I was really challenged with that. In Matthew chapter 7, and that's what I'd like to share, is a few thoughts there about the straight is the gate and narrow is the way. That word straight, if you look it up in the Greek, it means so much about many obstacles in the way to get in that straight gate. What are we looking for? Just some easy believism to get into the kingdom of God? That's not reality. It takes a dying to this flesh of ours. It takes a yielding and a surrendering of all. And the narrow is the way gives it the thought of suffering. That doesn't sound very appealing, does it? But I appreciate what Brother John D. brought out in a song of the hymns of the church, and how that God gives enough of pain in our joy to keep us humble. He does that. You know, sometimes we wonder, well, why is life, why does that have all these trials? And God loves us. He cares about us. He wants to keep us on that straight and narrow way. And when life gets too easy, it's so easy to forget him, lest thou forget the Lord. So let's just take courage when we are facing trials. And I have found sometimes some of the most difficult trials that we face. You know, we're looking at the problem, and it is big. How can I overcome this? And until we look to the Lord and we see that God is going to make a way, we fall on our faces. That's where God wants us, in crying out to him for mercy. Then God can bring deliverance. And many times I found there's something here, right in here, that God is wanting to get a hold of. That problem may be there, but it's something in here that God is after. Let's not be discouraged if we're facing hardships, but rather take courage that it's God's love and mercy to us. You know, sometimes the teaching can be intensive, and the labor intensive can appear like a mountain, but when we have kingdom view of this, looking at it in the light of eternity, it can change, or will change, our perspective. And the thing that we face many times is the different seasons of life you've gone through. For those of us that maybe don't have little babies anymore, it's a bit of different. Brother Kervin's just had another little one. I'm sure they can relate to this. Life takes on a different dimension. Is it nursing moms, expecting moms, little children, many little children? How can we keep our courage up to make it through? That's reality. We have faced that. It's like, I don't know how we're going to make it through this. This looks big. But I believe we need to be willing to take a look at it as husband and wife. How can we adjust? What can we change to make this workable? And I know when we were back on the farm, I had taken different subjects at times there. And see, all of those different occupations enter into a different life, in a sense. And some of us, many of us, work away from home. And I believe it's not so much that us fathers need to be doing all the teaching. I don't think any of us are able to for working outside of the home. That's just a reality. If we're gone for most of the day, good part of the day, but am I willing to oversee and be concerned of what is happening at home? Do I really care enough? If you haven't ever done this, I'd encourage you as fathers. I probably should try it again, but we're at a different place. We don't have five that we're teaching anymore at home. We have one. And if we have never taken a day of the responsibility of maybe we could do the laundry, we can make the meals, we can do all the teaching, it's good for us as fathers to experience some of that. And we'll see who is the weaker vessel. The Bible says it's the woman, it's the weaker vessel. But I have found it sure felt pretty weak trying to take all those things. See, God has given us different gifts. God has given us as men that He wants us to be leaders. He wants us to be strong. And see, that strength isn't, God hasn't designed it to be in this strength here. I'm going to make it through. It's in meekness and humility, openness and sharing and communication. But those are just the realities of life that we face, and they're not easy. But can we adjust our schedules to make it that we can make it through? Maybe we need to get somebody to help us for a time. Maybe us as fathers need to get up a little extra early. Is it helping with the laundry? Is it helping with some canning? Just to pitch in wherever we can. We've been experiencing some of that here recently where all our daughters have been gone, and all of a sudden things have changed in a dramatic way. It's good for me. I kind of enjoy it in a sense. We're just doing things together more again where we didn't as much. But it's just, you know, the needs are there. How can we meet the needs as fathers in our homes in the many, many different areas of life that we go through? Let's not despair, but let's take courage. One of the things that I want to share as far as our going to conventions, we talked about some of that in our brothers' meeting, is just to be careful. Do some research and seeing who is there. Things have changed majorly in the last 15, 20 some years in the homeschooling at the conventions, where today the entertainment in some places is taking on a very strong portion of that, comedians coming in, and I trust that none of us want to be educated by that. So let's be very careful, and I think that's one of the things that COE has and other communities have been pushing for, that as families, something to do together, that it can be an encouragement. But let's be cautious. And God is calling us to teach our children to diligently. And I like those verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I like to turn to that. It applies to no matter if we're teaching our children at home, is it at school or whatever it may be, these verses apply to us. Verse 3 in chapter 6 says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." I don't see spare time here just to do our own little thing. It looks like a full-time job. And I believe it is beautiful here. If God wants to help us and teach us as fathers, and I have so much to learn in this area, even when we're walking by the way or driving down the road, you know, do we look for teachable moments, those little things in life? Those are the grand opportunities I think God gives us. Is it in our home or we're lying down or rising up? There are so many, many things to learn. You know, I find it's, you know, when we rise up, spending that time with the Lord, having a time set aside for God in prayer and meditation. Memorizing God's word is something we can take with us. Memorizing songs. And we've been challenged with that. You know, I feel on the farm, we did a lot more of that. We were together 3 meals a day, and I thought we were way too busy, and we did make some changes. I feel we probably had more we should have had. But I look back on those years as a blessing, as a asset into our home, that I didn't realize what we had. You know, many times we have things that we don't realize. And we had to make adjustments there. And we find we still need to make adjustments. As the children get older, you know, we're going to different places. We have different times of that, times or occupations. And I find evenings is a real challenge sometimes to gather everybody together. And yet our supper time, I feel, is one of the most important things that we have besides, you know, is there a family worship then? But to come home and open up the conversations, not making it a time of discipline at the table, but rather purposing to make it a time of blessing. And, you know, my wife had to remind me at times, you know, if we have to kind of balance it out, who does the talking, you know, and not just one person to all the talking, but give opportunity for our children to share about their day, give opportunity for our wives to share about the day. And what about when we come home? You know, us as fathers, we work hard, many of us, most probably all of us, and our bodies get tired. We have feelings and emotions, and they feel exhausted. And I know as many times it was a change, you know, as I was working for Brother Mark full-time. It was the first time I had a full-time job. He was very gracious to me. And yet I found it was a new challenge. How can I, when I come home exhausted, meet the needs of my family? And I expect many of you face the same thing. And I've seen a need for me as I traveled homeward and just crying out to the Lord, God, I need grace today. I don't know, I don't have it, but I need something to get home, and I'm cheerful. I'd be able to take the load. Maybe my wife has had a hard day, and she has another more burdens to load upon me. And, you know, if we're not careful, maybe there's discipline that's needed. We get home and we just feel all weighed down and up to here. Well, you know what's going to happen if you take a child and you're up to here. It's going to come out from here. But sometimes we just need to find that quiet place with God. Lord, I don't have it, but I know you do. I need your grace. Help me, Lord, as I come home to minister life to my children, to minister life to my wife. God wants us in those places where we know that we can't do it on our own. Luke 1:17 says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It's a statement I didn't forget, Brother Dale Gish made last fall. So appreciate his messages on the home and how he was saying how that we as fathers are the forerunners in our home to lead our children to Christ. It should bring a sobriety to us and a seriousness. And we can't do that on our own. We can't save our children. But we need to cry out to the Lord to move and work in the hearts and lives. God, revive us again. Make us a people that loves you. God is able to save the souls, but he's looking to people that trust in him and bring our needs before him. Establishing truth in our children's hearts, Joshua 1:8-9 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Psalms 1 brings out some of the same thoughts there also. And serving unconditionally and in humility. Am I as a father, am I there as a servant, or am I just there to give some direction and have all the work done for me? You know, God help us. Sometimes we can feel, it may feel that way to our children. We do need to give direction. We need to give instruction, and it needs to be followed, because where there's no law, there's no transgression. If we don't make clear lines, and then there's no, we don't know where that line, nobody knows where the line is, and therefore it's not a transgression either, or not a clear transgression. But am I willing to serve? Am I willing to take the low road sometimes, you know, just doing things with our child, doing it together? Am I willing to help when I get into the house and the meal's not ready? Am I willing to pour the water cheerfully? Do what it takes, clean up the floor. There are so many different things that can be done for us as fathers. But, you know, I find it a challenge. I miss it many times. And it's rather, you know, well, why isn't supper ready, you know? But can I, am I willing to serve in my home? Jesus said, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And we talk quite a bit about change, being willing to adjust our schedules in the seasons of life. You know, it requires that flexibility. Sometimes there's sickness. Sometimes there's our wives may be bed rest before a birth. It may be weeks. It may be months. How are we going to make it through? We face those challenges, and even though, and I know we had asked somebody, we had somebody help us, and that was really a blessing. And I, at that time, I tried my best, taking up the responsibility of more of the teaching. It didn't go as well, but it went. And the Lord helped us make it through that. But those are just the realities I feel that we face. And let us not condemn ourselves when things aren't going the same, but rather, how can we adjust to make it a blessing? You know, it doesn't have to be the same. It's okay if it's different. And probably one of the greatest needs, you know, is the communication. As it says there, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Very familiar verses there. Just because I'm sharing what I'm sharing here this morning, I trust you to know me well enough that I don't have this together, but I'm striving after, pressing on, and still learning in communication. That's been a tough one for me, and I desire to learn even faster than what I have up to this point. Verse 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." That last phrase there, "that your prayers be not hindered," I trust none of us want our prayers to be hindered. But there are things that we can do that our prayers will be hindered. And that is, there's a number of things that are just very practical here. Dwelling with our wives according to knowledge. You know, God has not given us a manual of our wives, you know, that she does this, then you do that, and, you know, all those things be kind of nice sometimes, because how can you figure someone out that doesn't even understand themselves? And sometimes it feels like it's like Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he said, you know, "Tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation thereof." Yet God says that we're to do that. And it's so easy for us husbands to, you know, when things come and we just want to fix it and let's go on. Somehow let's get this thing together. And what they need is we just need time to talk. And if those burdens can just be shared and we can receive that and hear it without, you know, just giving a lot of direction, maybe right away. But let them unload. Let them share their hearts. And, you know, sometimes we see it as so different one from another until we communicate and find out what they really mean. It might be different. And that's the same way in relationships as us brothers. You know, I don't always understand where you're coming from unless I ask you, because the gifts vary. And it seems for some of us, there's a lot more differences than others. That's what it seems like anyway. But God help us. He has made a way that if we truly obey these verses that he has made, that we can be heirs together of the grace of life. With God, there's no difference in salvation. I am not more important than my wife before the Lord. We're equal in Christ. But God has given headship order as God and Christ and man, woman, the children. If we can follow in that, we can truly be heirs together of the grace of life. And I find sometimes, you know, it's easy. We think it's easier sometimes, instead of facing a difficult situation maybe we don't understand. Well, let's just I don't know how we're going to get through this. So maybe we don't talk about it, and we just go on, and things seem to be flowing well. But you can count on it, if we face another bump or a little conflict somewhere in the marriage, those things seem to come right up to the surface again. You know, God has a way that if it's dealt with, there's healing, it's fine, it's gone. But if it's not been dealt with and just kind of shoved underneath the carpet, that remembrance is still there. And so let's deal with it and try to be willing to get out of our comfort zone to go at times where it may hurt, times where we need to cry and weep together and cry out to the Lord together, to come to that place of where there can be true heirs together, the grace of life. There's a lot more could be said. It'd be a message in itself. We did talk about some about meal times, making our meal times of family worship an enjoyable time of the day, having our children share what they did in the day, take an interest in what happened, accomplishments, and giving some recognition for it, you know, blessing our children, being an encouragement instead of just a discouragement or just discipline. How well are we equipped to face the storms in life that God allows, you know, to come our way? There is a call to faithfulness and to teach our children diligently and to keep God's commandments. Jude chapter 3, you don't need to turn to that. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." If you look up those words and the meaning for it, there is a lot in that verse. Earnestly contending for the faith. John 12, 24 and 25 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." John 15, verse 10 and 11, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Brother John D. shared a few messages on the joy of the Lord being our strength. Just a very encouraging, powerful word of God that if we apply it to our life, the Christian life is not based upon our happenings, which are circumstances. If we're basing our life upon that, it's not true joy. It's going to go up and down and up and down. It's like he said, he talked to the family doctor there, the German Baptist, asked him the question about bipolar, and the doctor said, "Well, we're all bipolar. You know, if we're going by our circumstances, we either we're up then, or if the circumstances aren't good, we're down." And so some of that is all within us, but it's what we're looking for. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, we will face trials where this life is going to have its difficulties. But we're not basing our life on that. We're basing it on our faith in God, that God knows what's best for us. And at times, We just have to take an honest and a fresh look at that. And this Christian life is not a battlefield. It is a battlefield. It is not a playground. And that is probably the thing that we're bombarded with. One of the most right now is the entertainment. The things that are wanting to press their way into the church, into our hearts, into our lives, to deter us, to deceive us, to get us to be amused, that our hearts are not thinking upon God. That's one thing that Satan is going to do everything he can to keep our hearts from thinking upon God. Because he knows when we trust in God, he is going to have to flee. When we have faith in God and claim the blood of Jesus for our hearts and lives and that cleansing upon our hearts, he has to flee. He has no place there. But we can have that faith that he will be with us all the way. But, you know, there's a lot of things in this life, and you put whatever may be there. Is it the social networking? Is it the videos? Is it our texting? Is it our phones? Is it our emails? The list could go on and on and on. And, you know, we might think, wow, I don't have a problem with that. But are there other things in my life that are hindering me from my walk with God? Just taking that attention away, taking that meditation away from God. And at times we need to stop. We need to reevaluate. And if there is sin in our lives, we need to repent to get clear. As it says there in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10 through 11, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all these things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Let's be clear before God. Let's have a clear conscience before God, being open one to another, and to hear what my brother has to say about my life. The example of the children of Israel, I feel, is just what we face today of the 12 spies that were sent over there. That, I feel, is such a clear example for our lives today, the difference if we have God or if we do not have God, faith in God. As Josh and Caleb says, there was another spirit in them. And they seen these challenges in life as bread for them to help them to grow in their Christian life. And the others said, we are as grasshoppers in their sight. And like somebody had made mention, who said they were grasshoppers anyway? Did the giants over there, the children of Anak? It was their perception of who God was and who they were without faith. And but Josh and Caleb, they had faith and they said they'd be bread for us. Moses remained faithful unto the end, and God is calling us to that faithfulness. You know, we can't see everything that's in the future, but God gives us the promise of eternal life when we trust in him. Even as he took Moses up there on the mount before he died, I like that example. Moses, the man of God, did he do everything perfect? No, he didn't. But his life was got right. He was right with God. But he could not get into the promised land crossing that Jordan. God had said, because you struck that rock twice, you are not going in. I could imagine Moses just pleading, God, please, surely. No, you're not going in. And that was what God had said, and he was not going in. And the 40 years had expired there in the wilderness. The carcasses that were to die, was it 20 and over? They had died there, and God said, it's time to go across the Jordan, and you are going to need to die. And I've wondered, was his life really, his physical life, was it weak that he couldn't have lived longer? I don't know. But it says that his eye was not dim, 120 years old, and his natural force was not abated. It shows me there was some vigor and strength that man had. But God said, it's time to die. God buried him. It says that nobody found his grave to this day. And we know the testimony up there on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was Moses. But may that be our testimony of faithfulness unto the end. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God be with you. Bless you abundantly. I'm sure there's a lot more that could be said, but that's all I felt had for this morning. And let us remember, we are teaching something at home. May it be according to the will of God, and that even our own God can bless us. God be with you.